Welcome to Oz NFTs, NFTs are for Everyone podcast.
Every week, we'll bring you Australian artists, collectors, and builders that are paving the way in the Web3 space.
We'll go deep into their stories, how they're reshaping digital culture, and how you can get involved.
Welcome to the NFTs are for Everyone podcast. We're joined today in the amazing Oshi Gallery here in Melbourne with Jane, GT, and Rebecca Grugan. Guys, how are we all today?
We are good. We are good. Stoked to have you here and show you around.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Guys, what an amazing space you've created here. Thank you so much for the contribution to the community. It's you walk in and like immediately you just feel a sense of a revolution coming on. You know, you've got these amazing digital frames that spin and do all these amazing things. You've got projections all over the place. We'll show you guys some videos coming up. You were telling me earlier that you've been doing this, been setting up galleries for like the past 15, 20 years around Melbourne. Can you give us a little bit of insight into where you've come from, what your influence was, and why you got started in the space?
Sure.
Me to take this? Yeah.
You've got it.
So, well, I've been in the art industry for my whole life. Met GT. He's a sculptor, did a lot of street art. We moved back to Melbourne from a remote Kimberley community and just threw ourselves into the street art culture. Loved every aspect of it for like literally the wild, wild west. And I think for us, GT, we live out in the sticks, and we needed somewhere that we could create art and have artists around us. So we just set up a little gallery. He had a studio. Artists just kept coming. We created more studios. We had this, you know, cool little community gallery where amazing artists like Mysterious Al, you know, showed their work. And from that, I guess the community grew around us as we partook in all the culture that was art and street art, traditional art, and those avenues. And from then it's just sort of perpetuated, and you know, we've grown our friends, our relationships with artists, and we've really wanted to sort of expose all the avenues to the general public, to anyone that wants to take interest in the creative industry, really. So it's kind of what Fifth Gallery over the years that we've helped manage and build. This is definitely something that was fully custom designed around digital artists, their needs, whether they're musicians, whether they're projection artists or documentarians. Like, it was really, yeah, bespoke to create that, I guess, an illusion from the general public that it appears to be a traditional art gallery, and they come in and hopefully they're just really absorbed by what some of these artists are able to do, and then, you know, from there they can delve into finding out more about the artists and how they create their work, whether it's from a traditional point of view and then translate it into a digital format, or whether they start directly from a digital space.
I love it. And you really just said it there. You guys have been community oriented from the get-go, right? And fostering that and really cultivating that as a space for artists and creatives to come through, exhibit themselves, and really find themselves. And you guys are creating that environment. This vision of yours started a long time ago. And when Josh and I walked in here, it was the first thing that was just like, hey, we felt part of the story of Oshi immediately. Your passion and this cultivation, what was the vision that started Oshi? What was the vision that built and got Oshi to opening up where it is today? And I'd love for you to explore a little bit on where your perspective is on how galleries sit in community and the importance of galleries in fostering conversations within community.
I guess Oshi started... Well, we've been heavily involved in the NFT or art on the blockchain space since 2017, before it was respectively called NFTs, and that was just an immediate click with us. We just went like, holy shit, this is kind of ownership on the internet, amazing. We already understood blockchain, you know, at a relatively high level. So we had started kind of diving into it in 2018. We had a show sponsored, we had a huge group exhibition sponsored by a company that did provenance on the blockchain for artists, but for traditional works, you know, previously made works. And we were televised on the ABC, and you know, went out there and the public about art on the blockchain and what is this. So we kind of stemmed from there, and Oshi came from obviously us being in the gallery scene already, in the art scene, and that perfect simile between street art and NFTs. You know, they're kind of things that you can visualize publicly, you can take photos or right click save, but there's an owner and there's someone that is a supporter or a collector or someone there. So that really worked well with us. We were like, this is perfect, amazing. So we actually started a small side business to our printing business as well. We had an art printing business called Printoji. So, you know,
2018
was 2018. And surprisingly, no one wanted to pay in cryptocurrency. Everyone's like, no, no, so we'll get rid of our
printed fiat. Cryptocurrency transactions.
So it kind of really kicked off then from Printoji, because we had set up a fine art printing business and an artist merch printing business alongside the gallery to help finance the gallery, because you don't always make money in a gallery. We know that you can have an exhibition, it could be the world's best artist, but you might not sell one artwork, and that could have cost you thousands of dollars to set up that exhibition. So we set up the printing business alongside there to help facilitate income and support artists, generate revenue in other streams. Digital artists were a predominant kind of clientele of ours, because it was very hard for digital artists to make money with their artworks, because it's not this tangible painting. So we created fine art prints and started working with it there. Then we tie in things like NFC chips that would link back to the artist's profile, which these are here behind us. And then that just kind of grew, and we've seen the need for artist representation, digital artist representation. But although it's been around for decades, digital art, the respect in the traditional art world is kind of like lacking a little bit on the digital artist side. People are predominantly used to swiping through Instagram, double tapping and moving on. So we felt that there was a need to actually stop people in front of a screen and consume the art as best of a way they can, and immerse themselves in the art without the ability to swipe on the screen. So hence, you know, the digital displays around here, you have to take a moment with it. So that's kind of why we got into it. And then we built the first, what was to be the world's first crypto art gallery, start of 2020. Absolute perfect timing.
Yeah.
We all know what happened at the start of 2020. So COVID kicked in. We tried our best to get through that period. It was a pretty tough period for everyone out there, including ourselves. We got to start of 2021. And that's where the guys at Future Art, so Sats Moon and Dave Good, if you haven't interviewed them, please get him on here.
He's here at the moment, but we're going to lock him down.
He'll be back soon.
Yeah.
So those guys were putting on the Sydney Future Art exhibition, but then Sydney had a snap lockdown. So I reached out to him and I said, guys, like, we'll put on a Melbourne version of your Sydney show. This was like 4 or 5 days before it was launching. I said, we'll just do it. We've built a gallery that's ready for digital art.
It's ready to go.
So we pulled some strings, set up the gallery, and so we put on a Melbourne leg for that exhibition. So the people that couldn't, from Melbourne that couldn't fly into Sydney, could at least go to. And that turned out to be about 150 to 200 people turned up on the night.
Yeah, we maxed out our COVID footprint within about 15 minutes. But honestly, we thought maybe 10 people would show up, and we were so overwhelmed with the support.
So it was, you know, that to us was like amazing. It's there. We knew the community was there, but it was very sporadic and it hadn't really come together. They needed a home, not just NFTs, but the Web3, you know, for Web3 culture, you know, obviously opening up to cryptocurrency and blockchain. Bros and sisters, you know, like out there, it's kind of like we want to be that for all of them. Just give them a home and come and chill, and it's and it's a cool space to build. That's, you know, that's what we're aiming for. And to build a benchmark for how to display digital art, how to really actually show it. Like, we don't, you know, we've been to plenty of NFT galleries around the world, and it's kind of got a sense of TVs on walls. We want to eradicate that, and people forgetting that they're looking at digital art and they're just going, it's art.
Yeah.
And I think we're, you know, we're getting to that point of displaying it that way. And fast forward, we took a bit of a break, went overseas for a little bit, and here we are.
Cool.
Boom.
Yeah. As so you guys have been really at the bleeding edge of blockchain and seeing how it's developed over the years, and you've obviously early on saw the value to artists and how really exploring ideas of provenance, exposure, empowering artists now. We were just talking earlier, artists who kind of just tender for a mural create these beautiful digital pieces as part of a tender, and that just kind of gets lost, right? It gets lost in you know, business and working out from zero to one, and people kind of working out how to monetize their art. You guys have now created a hub for artists to come to learn, to engage, to and actually activate their collections. For artists out there that are listening and are kind of interested, you guys hold workshops and education communities, and you offer a lot of services that get people to be familiarized and actually show what is possible. What are some of the interactions that you guys have had with local artists? I imagine you've just seen some incredible transitions.
We absolutely have, and it's I mean, the feeling we get when a traditional artist starts to delve into this space. Sorry, do you want to just... Oh, sorry. when a traditional artist comes to us and wants to know a little bit more about the space, wants to see how they can potentially up their game in terms of their techniques and building on that, learning more about the digital space, we will throw everything at it. Like, we have a whole bunch of different... you know, articles that they can read up. We have mentorship between our team here, and then that expands even further into the community that are super willing to, you know, give their experience. And that's why upstairs we will be hosting, whether they are, you know, more based around IP or law, based specifically on creating digital assets, how to better utilize their contracts, what they are, and all those kinds of things. You know, they're the kinds of things that I think artists and people that are just interested need to be able to feel comfortable to come and just ask a dumb question. Like, there really are none, and I think that's the thing that we really want to achieve here. Well, there are, okay, but I mean, the thing is like,
but ask them.
Again, like, we want to make sure it's really, we're here to be flexible. So there'll be days that are purely based around what the fuck is an NFT? How can we even start to think about it? You know, I have a friend, I have someone that makes video games or something, and they just want to know where to kick off. Or I've got someone that's already, you know, killer in terms of digital content and all that sort of stuff that just wants to kind of up to the next level in terms of keeping their brand succinct and stuff like that. So there'll definitely be focused educational talks and stuff like that, where, again, back to the community aspect, is we've just really surrounded ourselves with incredibly masterful people that have just such a breadth of knowledge. And they're the people that I think, you know, Oshii Gallery, the Australian community, the Melbourne community, the creative community, all the blockchain community can all come together and, you know, lend on each other's skill set. And it'll be a very of completely free community-based events. There will be some more succinct sort of ticketed things. And that's really to make sure that, you know, the people with that level of experience are coming in and they're really focusing on the strengths, and people can take home from that a lot of information that hopefully they can all just like run with.
I just wanted to add to that. one of the things that the general public sees is the headlines, and artists are just as susceptible to that as any other person in the world. So we have these headlines of, you know, the environmental impact, yes, granted, but, you know, educate on why and how and all the background of that. But also too, you know, there's for, we've built in the IRL space, in the traditional art space, we've built a lot of trust with a lot of artists, and that's a personal trust level. So they feel safe when they know or they're being told to come to talk to us, that it's usually, there's a bit of trust there to understand that, you know, what these guys are talking about, it's legit. We still tell people to go and do the research on it, but we give them a good platform to kind of start from, and you know, a bit of a directive to kind of look down this way. So, you know, that for us is a major thing, and also too, is why the artist needs to do an NFT. Not, you know, I believe not every artist needs to do an NFT. To me, the very the lowest form of an NFT is just taking a photo of a painted canvas and putting that online and reselling what you've done. I like to look at the, you know, what's digitally native. What can you do with that canvas that you can animate it or put something into it or change it to be something it couldn't? Use the tool for its purpose and application. And then also to, like, educating artists about the ability of what smart contracts can do. You know, there's NFTs out there, Daniel Arsham's, I've forgotten the title of it, you know, it changes.
When it constantly changes, yeah.
Yeah, it changes seasons over the period. There's Trevor Jones' Eth Boy that changes with pricing of Bitcoin. There's other ones, you know, Murat Pak's Merge. You know, you purchase one, you purchase another one separately and they merge together in your wallet. Now, this is kind of that extension of going, now start thinking about all the things that, you know, you couldn't do with your painting. And so we try and take away, you know, we try and allow the artist to have a non-contrived way of coming into the space to really think about it and take it out there. And one of the hardest things, not the hardest things, but every painting you see from an artist, even a sculpture in the traditional sense or the physical sense, is that's actually a still shot of the video that is happening in their mind. Mm. So now they've got the opportunity to display the rest of that kind of 360 surround of that still shot that they've presented in the physical realm into the digital realm. And
if they want to, right?
Yeah, that's right. If they want to, yeah. It's there's no need for it to be forced or, you know, it's got to really kind of work with their practice and kind of hopefully, you know, uplift their practice. And, you know, that can be, and today too, a lot of artists are starting digital. You know, a lot of artists are sketching in Procreate on their iPads. Then they're going and painting a mural or a canvas or sculpting. And then it's coming back to its kind of native being where it all kind of started from, outside of the mind. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we like to educate artists on, but it's like understanding what this tool or medium can do for your practice.
Yeah,
we love that. It's a core pillar of what we do as well, education, you know, and accessibility. And I think a huge element of that, especially what you guys are bringing to the table, is creating a physical space where you can do that and have people come and have those human interactions. Rebecca got us really into the NFT art space. We were more focused initially on how NFTs could apply to real life businesses. And it's been an amazing journey jumping in with you and helping you activate everything and sort of getting up to speed with what's going on in the space, because it's just incredible. And something that you said that really stuck to me was, you know, galleries really need fair representation in the digital art space for so many reasons. And I'll let you jump in and...
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first got into this space, a lot of, you know, people were looking at it as like cutting out the middleman, and the artists can make, you know, the funds themselves. And I think what I was seeing in those conversations was people forgetting the relevance of galleries and how it's not just, they have a place, and not just for the display of works and for that curation, but also for the cultural relevance and the conversations that happen in these spaces. And so I was really, really passionate about trying to learn how the physical gallery works from a revenue model, from a, you know, from an artist perspective of somebody coming in looking at representation and, you know, what is good representation, what's not, but also making sure that we didn't lose that fundamental part of what art does, which to me explores humanity in depth, and just really ensuring that from an artist perspective, I am making sure that I'm talking about the relevance of galleries, because this is not, you know, this is not a disruption in the space of, you know, the galleries being irrelevant. They're more relevant than ever, especially in what we've just gone through globally over the last 3 years. We need connection, we need moments, and we need to have the conversations. Galleries are safe spaces to do that. And so it's never, in my opinion, ever been more relevant for these places to exist.
And as an artist and an artist that is now exploring the NFT world and getting into Web3 with the Moods, you've got your own exhibition happening up in Brisbane. When you came into Oshii, right, this is your first time kind of experiencing this, immediately it was like a part of the story, right? And you mentioned this before, it's like art can be in like gaming, art can be, it's a sculpture, and it's a fraction of a moment in your mind that you're now experiencing, and you're creating, you're joining their story and creating your own story from that. You're doing something really similar, well, not, you're doing your own distinct thing with the Moods. And you're exploring this storytelling that people can now share with each other and take a part of. What are your thoughts on like Oshii Gallery's hub and position as a place where fosters these conversations and fosters this community?
Well, from what I've learned today, it's fucking perfect. It's exactly what the Web3 space needs. I am not from 2017. I'm from 2021, and it has been a ride. And for somebody who's not been a traditional artist previously, as in like I have sold works, but I've never, you know, it's not my full-time career yet. My goal here is to translate, you know, what's possible from an artist perspective while I'm on that journey, but also what's possible for small business, meaning for everybody, and how do we onboard them better. But coming here has allowed me to see that, firstly, I'm on the right track in regards to what I feel and think is what we need for society to bring the general population into this space. But also as an artist who's in that, you know, emerging stage, the fucking coolest people to learn from, like, and having a place, like, I'm not from Melbourne, so I can't, you know, I won't be here all the time, but to have that space and know that they're starting to exist for this NFT digital world is exactly what our country needs. It's what the world needs, but hopefully, you know, your space can become a leader in
there'll
that.
Be little Oshii galleries everywhere. Yeah, not all impossible. Over the world.
I think it's time to move to Melbourne.
We've got to spread the love. We've got to spread the love up and down the coastline. I think that's what Oshii is starting to create. It's really pioneering what it means to create an art gallery that is relevant as we're moving into this, you know, pseudo-physical and digital life and environment where we are now, our representation of ourself on the online is an extension of self as who we are as a person in real life. And so, Rebecca, when your vision as an artist and business person who is now self-motivated and can see a vision and start to execute on that mission, it's very different to a lot of other artists. You know, a lot of artists I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone in particular, but they are a little bit introverted, right? And so when they see the NFT world, it's like, okay, cool, well, I just like doing my art, right? What do you think are the most important, like, three or four or five most important things for an artist who is now seeing someone like Oshii, hearing you talk about bringing your story to life and hearing you guys talk about your journey? What do you think are some three most key important things that we should really get out there and they should be aware of to get into this space and start to explore?
You're not going to be able to just stay in your creative space. You can for majority of the time, but you have to do the work, because from my understanding in this space, you've got to build that community around you. You've got to put yourself out there, doxed or not doxed, it doesn't matter. What you've got to do is you've got to do the work, because especially if you were a traditional artist who's in that creative space, as we were talking about earlier, is that it's a different ball game. So people who may know you in real life don't know you online, and you have global opportunity online. So you have to find a way to do the work. And if you don't know how to do something, build an entourage around you that can do it, as I have done with you guys. You know, get out there, connect the dots. Melbourne was not even on the fucking run sheet. But you know, in Twitter spaces, I've been in them for 2 weeks, and here we are connecting dots. And you've got to follow that gut instinct. And as a creative, we do have it. But you're going to have to do the work, is my number one opinion.
What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Everything Rebecca just said, but definitely in the space, as we touched on briefly earlier, is you can be really well known externally to the NFT space or the digital art space that lives on the blockchain. I think to a lot of artists that are sort of still a little bit stuck between two worlds and haven't yet either been able to break through or haven't found comfortable breaking through, it's a really, really happy surprise to realize that there's some incredibly fun, really like amazing people. I've had artists reach out to me seconds after I've purchased a $3 piece off Tezos or $1,000 piece, and they've slid into my DMs, thank you so much, this is incredible. And that's opened up a narrative, and I was stoked. Like, I'm here going, oh my god, I loved that work, I didn't know of the artist. And I think that's something that really, it took me really by surprise, even over the last couple of years, finding these amazing new friendships with artists I never really thought that potentially we would have a more intimate connection or a more like friendship connection online through Twitter or DMs or through just sheerly liking and commenting and them sharing or liking and commenting. I'm stoked. Like, I mean, I could spend every day speaking with artists and meeting them for coffee or talking with them on the phone or whatever, but I've found another level as well, which is really great to watch them progress. And then in turn, you know, have them see the kinds of things we're trying to achieve to help the rest of the artists. So I think to any artist that's still on the fence, like, just if you like someone's work, tell them you like their work. If you want to buy something, buy something. And you'll be surprised the kind of people that will come back and interact with you in return, which is incredibly valuable, whether it's monetary-wise or beneficial mentally. A lot of artists get stuck. And I think the support that's already here in the community, it just literally expands out.
Do you guys have some thoughts or some advice for people who are like, all right, cool, I've got some art. I've created a piece. It's a digital piece. You know, I can be used in a game, or I'd like to just display it and see if someone wants to come along on my story. What do I need to do? Who do I need to talk to? Is a Twitter space the right thing for me to start jumping into? Or do I go on to, what is a Tezos? Like, what are your thoughts on this? And where someone can start with a couple of actionable steps?
I think in regards to a choice of blockchain, there's a few things at the moment. Well, we've got the Ethereum merge coming up. That's if it's not delayed for 3 months, 6 months, a year. The environmental impact's a major thing for artists, which is, you know, it's fair play. With the merge, that is dropping, the environmental impact's dropping. It's written 99.99% or whatever. You know, it'd be 1/200th of what YouTube uses. There's that... that personal choice of, like, you know, blockchains and the environment. So you've got something like Tezos, which uses, you know, next to nothing comparatively at the moment to Ethereum. But with artists, like, we're not Ethereum maxis personally. For the sake of the cryptocurrency or the, you know, we're Ethereum maxis for security. And it's had a good 5 years to test the actual smart contracts and make sure everything's watertight and they work. So, and things are still being tested today. So that's why we focus on Ethereum first and foremost. You know, things like Tezos and other chains like Solana, Phantom, things like that, Polygon, which is a side chain. It's like understanding and learning the differences between those before you actually head over. You know, a lot of people don't know that Solana can be switched off by the CEO. Basically, it's kind of the meme that kicks around. So, you know, it's these kind of things are, you know, key things for artists to understand and be educated about first to make their own decisions. You know, for ourselves as curators and advising artists and the likes, we can only kind of give them a directive to work towards and then learn themselves more. We can give them a kind of, a springboard to go, right, this is, you know, where we start type thing.
And you guys actually do provide that with your workshops here.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd just like to add another perspective to GT's more chain specific and blockchain and currency specific, but also coming from the artists, taking it back to a really basic concept is if you make comic books, are you going to go and try and sell your comic books in a traditionally oil painting gallery? No, because those collectors that want to buy your comic books are not going to be there. You're going to reach out to those stores, those kinds of stores that sell that sort of those products, because that's where their customers live. So in terms of some artists and the advice we would give to the artist is find where your work fits in and where your community is, in addition to the points that GT made about in terms of environmental or the kinds of change you want to work with and whatnot. Obviously, he mentioned Tezos. There's an incredible array of artists that are producing really, really high standards of work. They have a great community as well. So I think that's another layer that artists should really delve into as well. We've had a whole bunch of artists that have really found incredible success on fandom and through platforms because that's where that community is living. However, they are really starting to look at additional spaces for maybe their one-of-one works or something like that, less edition style work. So I think there are a lot of things to consider, and not to go into too long of a winded conversation is, you know, find your niche and your audience and your community as well on those other things, keeping into account the security and those other elements as well. So there's a few boxes that kind of need to be thought over before jumping too fast in.
Yeah, 100%. We've been talking with a few people recently about the different cultures that are emanating in different blockchains. And it's really interesting, you know, whether you're into DeFi or gaming or music or art or fine art, you know, there's a different blockchain with a different community associated with it. So yeah, great point, Jane. It's really important to sort of delve in and understand the culture there and get involved in that culture and make sure that your art is relevant and can grow in that space. Someone said earlier today that blockchains are like different countries. And I really love that. It's cool. It's like, yeah, because every country has its own little intricacies and its own community and culture. So, yeah, very cool. So on the topic of sort of new artists coming into the space, like Beck, obviously you're a new artist coming into the space and you guys are constantly dealing with new artists and hosting them up in your amazing workshop area upstairs from the gallery. What are some advantages for, well, firstly, why? What's the main sort of reason you're jumping in? And what's the main reason you're seeing people that are interested in getting into the space?
Well, for me, it makes logical sense. And I follow my gut instinct. And for somebody who, it was in my, you know, our financial plan for me, my husband and I, that, you know, it was a 7-year thing that I'd start to, you know, get out of the industry or sector that I'm in now and start to move toward art and interior design as my career. Getting into NFTs as a collector last year in 2021 brought all of that forward because it makes logical sense beyond just the art that I can produce online and the global reach that I can get from that. But the ability of the smart contract to me is going to change the world. And seeing where that goes, as somebody who is an artist and creative, but also has the business knowledge and the sense and the ability to see that possibility, I'm all in.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Just as you guys are, right? You saw it early on. It was like, this is where we need to be building. These are the people we need to connect. And so you guys have some pretty interesting people coming in this weekend. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because you're starting to blend the music industry, the creative industry, the art industry, and you're fostering this in the Osher Gallery here in Collingwood. Could you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, so I mean, yes, our space has been designed for digital artists, NFT artists, but it's also a blank canvas for activations. And we've always made it really clear in our previous ones that we want artists and creatives to push the boundaries on what people perceive their work to be. So we have Parkway Drive, which is an incredibly internationally renowned band, and they're partnering with a Melbourne artist, Callum Preston, and he is doing this incredible installation to drop their new album, which is released worldwide on the 9th. So on the 10th of September at Oshi Gallery, it's going to blow people's minds on what the expectations of listening to music, what the industry around, you know, these artists spend so much time creating their videos, so people can immerse themselves visually, also with sound as well. So the guys have put together just a huge array of never before seen footage. There's a whole bunch of audio. There's an incredible installation. There'll be works and records only available here in the world. So a huge amount of exclusives. So the space that everyone will see here today is going to look nothing like that on Saturday. So it's a world first. And we're so stoked that a creative like Callum Preston and a huge band like that is going to bring such a diverse range of people. So whether they're here to see digital content, see something immersive, see an activation, or whether they're here because they fucking love the music. And the fact that we get to flip this space on its head and change it from what, you know, people have seen over the last few weeks, that we've shown them in the space, and this is going to look completely different.
Can't wait. And I build in on what you just said, Beck, about the smart contract, and why I asked that question is smart contracts, I mean, there are many ways to describe them, but essentially it's a digital form to prove ownership without a central kind of governing body. That's the very 25 words or less. And why I raise that is NFTs, this cultural movement, it's not just some esoteric thing happening in a weird corner of the internet where people are just talking on Twitter spaces and Discord. You're actually attracting international artists, international musicians, diverse communities, people who don't even really care for crypto that are now going to be experiencing it and starting to understand what it means to be a part of something other than just streaming it on Spotify, right? And there's so much in that. There is so much opportunity, there's so much potential, and it's all community powered, right? Which is really what Oshi and yourself, Beck, are striving to create. And Oz NFT is really striving to foster. Why I'm talking about this is smart contracts, NFTs. We've been talking about it this whole time. I just want to ask a question. How would you guys describe an NFT to your grandmother?
Screenshot. No, I'm joking.
X copy. I right click saved it, bro.
I personally would just say go back to bed, grandma. look, I think the simplest way we've found to describe it and to bring it up to a level of understanding is explaining Web 1, Web 2, Web 3. Basically, we sit there and say Web 1, it's read only. You know, that's when Yahoo News sent you the news and you could read it, and that was it. Web 2, it was read and write. You know, you were interacting. You know, social media came out. We could, you know, double tap, we could swipe left and right and comment and, you know, run threads. Web 3 with an ownership layer. And that ownership layer of digital assets is NFTs, proven on the blockchain. So, you know, without going too, you know, low level or diving into it, I think that's its simplest form is going, there's now a provably, you know, a provable ownership on the internet now, thanks to the blockchain. So, look, art usually gentrifies things. Art and tech are things that merge together and have done for the life of, you know, human existence. You know, artists find ways to utilize technology that make, you know, the scientists rethink the technology they've created and rebuild and remake, and then it's this circular kind of thing between art and technology. And that's right now, I think we're right at the crux of seeing it really come together. Again, you know, the digital art revolution is starting. It's just kicking off. You know, it's still early in the grand scheme of things of art. But that's just as artists gentrify local suburbs in cities. You know, they, you know, the artists all move in, the prices go up, and then the artists move out to the next suburb, and it just keeps going on. So I'm seeing exactly the same thing happen with you know, art and technology and NFTs with artists right now. So yeah, the simplest way is, you know, web 1, 2, 3.
Poor grandma.
Yeah, go back to
bed. Listen to that, grandma.
Just on that, like, I don't have an answer for that. And that's the thing, that's the journey I'm on as a translator is, you know, I'm today the person I'm sharing a hotel with, she's 63, like fucking 63, and she's in the NFT space. She's the person that's going to be able to explain it to me, that's then going to be able to make it make sense for grandma. Because not she's a grandma, she's but that's the reality, is that I'm not that generation. I don't have the experience that they have. But my goal is that if I can understand where they've come from and what they've seen the changes in technology, they've seen, you know, Netflix come to life, a TV getting a remote, all of that sort of shit. So if I learn from people who are grandma's age, who are in this sector, then I am going to know how to answer that. I love your example. I've read that before, but I don't have the answer.
Can I give a one-liner for what I think I would say to my little grandma, who's like this tall and still plays cricket? I would say it's a fingerprint. It's a database for fingerprints. So basically, the artist creates the fingerprint in an art terminology. The artist creates the fingerprint. It doesn't matter where that fingerprint goes through the database, who owns that fingerprint, it was always created by the first person, and that's their fingerprint. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Scary. It
feels Nan's like already making a sandwich. Yeah. she's out.
Like, they took my fingerprints, I'm a fucking criminal.
Yeah.
It's a tricky question to ask, but it's something that we're trying to get to the bottom of, and we ask pretty much everyone, and it's interesting.
Well, tonight you can ask one.
Yeah, true. Looking forward to that. GT, you mentioned the crossover between art and technology. AI art is like trending right now pretty hard. And there's a lot of mixed reviews out there of you know, some people are saying, oh, it's not art anymore. Other people are saying, wow, it enables me to become an artist because, you know, just because I don't have these technical skills, I'd still love to, you know, put out an image that does exist in my creative. Some people are saying that it's not inclusive because it doesn't exist in other languages apart from English. Obviously, these are early iterations and we have to wait for it to completely expand. But what are your thoughts on that? Should artists be scared of AI? Is it taking away their jobs?
This kind of goes back to, you know, the digital camera coming out, you know, the iPhone then coming out, and photographers are going to lose their jobs. Actually, I think it bolsters their position as a professional. Even if I've got nothing against AI generated art. I absolutely love it. I toy around with DALL-E 2 myself. But the thing is it's consistency. So you'll know it's fine if, like, let's say you're a hobbyist or, you know, it's a little bit of creative flair with you, but you want to create some AI art, that's fine. But there's a difference between intrinsic artists and extrinsic artists. So that's, to me, that's the difference between an artist and a designer. An artist is of intrinsic nature. They'll create for the necessity to create. Now, whether they use AI, they're composing, they're, you know, everything from colours to form, shape, function, whatever it does, they're still composing it. They might be typing in a one-line, two-line sentence to get that information, but I guarantee most intrinsic artists will rip it apart and pull parts out of it and go, cool, that just saved me half an hour. So they're using an effective tool to save them time to recreate more work. Now, if you were one to create AI works deliberately and, you know, you might do 8 artworks and they sell for 1 ETH each, 10 ETH each, whatever, that's fine. But then it depends on how you're going to approach your collector base and then how consistent you're going to keep doing that actual style of artwork or, you know, carry on your art practice. So for me, I think it's absolutely amazing. I think it's a great tool that will actually help build a lot more creatives and bring out a lot more creative minds that help shape the world. That art and technology thing, it's kind of like, well, hey, that person that couldn't be creative before because they felt like they couldn't draw, they couldn't paint, they couldn't do anything, now they've got a tool to kind of spit their mind out and let's see what happens. Like, who gives a fuck, really? Like, you know, if you're gonna keep doing it, keep doing it. I've got nothing against it, love it.
I think it's just another subgenre of art as a whole. And art has always been subjective, love it or hate it. People, it took many, many years before people would recognize being a photographer as an art, as a form of art, and look at what happened in the NFT space. It shot up. Now music's the next thing. Then AI. They're all just subgenres, love it or hate it. It doesn't matter. If it's going to happen in perpetuity anyway. And the artists that use AI are always going to create. The real artists will create regardless of what anyone else thinks. And the people that don't like it, they're just going to keep looking at all the things they do like. It's just get over it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's an unstoppable force, creativity. It's just, and then you're not going to get an immovable object. It's just not, it's not happening. So you guys, we were offline, we were talking about your workshops with kids, and these are going to be the creators of tomorrow, right? And the NFT space is really going to be something like, essentially, everyone's playing Roblox and Fortnite. It's going to be kind of synonymous with just existence. And Rebecca, you work a lot with kids, and your exhibition is really going to be looking at how to integrate the NFT experience with kids. For any kids that are listening or parents with children, what would be some of your thoughts in how to start to have these kinds of conversations? What are the key topics? What are the key ideas that they should really start to look at? It, whether that's ownership, whether it's sharing, whether it's building digital relationships.
Yeah, so with the with my exhibition, I've got a group of four-year-olds that we are doing a fractionalized piece based on emotion. So they're individually creating a small canvas that will be put together, and their families will have signed them up for a wallet based on what you guys teach them to do. But, you know, exploring that in a fractionalized way in this space introduces not just the children to what's possible, but the parents, which is what all of this is about. It's about onboarding every human in this space if possible. And then we've got the 6 to 16-year-olds who some of them will be another collaborative piece, but also some of those individual artists who take their work seriously, but they might be 11 and 12 and no one else takes them seriously. Well, the Web3 fucking community does. And so the ability to play safely online, have conversations with your children, have conversations with your parents, whoever it is that you're listening, but just there is a community out there who's willing to support anybody at any age. And I think that that is probably the first time I have been able to see it globally where true inclusion is actually happening. So knowing that anything's possible. Every month that goes past in this industry, things get easier in the sense of getting rid of obstacles that might be in the way to get your art Tezos is one of those developments, nifty awesomeness people that you guys were talking about before. You know, they're taking away those things that might be friction in this process. And I think knowing it's accessible, trusting yourself, and there are going to be people who say no, but there's always been that. But for the first time in my lifetime and that I'm aware of, you have a place where you, as you, showing up as you, you're going to be accepted. And that is where it's fundamentally going to shift society.
I love that. I love that. It's space for everyone. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Because you guys are working on some very, very innovative projects and encompassing everyone from all parts of the community, including kids. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I can't give a lot away, obviously, as we discussed before. I'm going to cautiously navigate this announcement before the actual announcement. So Oshi Gallery is actually curating a very public exhibition of digital artists, NFT artists, artists that come from traditional backgrounds that are navigating their way in. So there's a mixture of your top tier artists and a mixture of traditional artists that are coming into the space and wanting to take a next step up, have another voice, have another audience, and really experiment, which has just been the most incredibly fulfilling process to curate and work alongside these artists, as well as one of Australia's biggest public art fractions. So I think once this is announced, I think the process for us is really just taking all the public, taking their feedback, the good, the bad, and the incredibly excited, fingers crossed, because the exhibition, the way we've curated it, it has the most unique artists that we have right here in Melbourne. They're all Melbourne-based artists. Again, I'm going to tread carefully with what I say here. But, I mean, we're putting this in front of the public because we know that they will enjoy it. Whether they purchase it or whether they purchase a print or whether they just sit there and watch and look at the artwork and just immerse themselves in it, whether their kids find something really interesting about it or look at this, look at that, we're putting it there. And I think we're incredibly lucky to be working with a public space like that to be able to put these artists out there and say, this is art. And look at what they can do.
Did you want to speak to the nifty?
Yeah, no, like touching on the kids. Well, I like to call them kids because I'm an old boy now. things that a lot of people in the art world or just the general public in general forget is there's artists today that have never picked up a paintbrush or touched a canvas or touched, you know, paint other than maybe mum or dad having them roll the wall at home. These artists started their life out with an iPad or, you know, using Microsoft Paint when they were young. And they've been completely digitally native. So that's happening more and more and more as, you know, we have people come in here in the past week. And they're like, you know, my kid just draws all day long and some of them are actually good. And we know, we know the parents are usually like, oh, that's lovely, but you know, whatever.
Can I put it on my fridge?
But this is what's happening today is like this is the start of the digital renaissance. This is the start of like, this is where it's happening right now because the kid that's born today, you know, in 10 years' time, they could be the world's leading artist. You know, take Ferocious, you know, like...
Incredible example.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, he's a young gun that's, like, just come up and, you know, hit the nail on the head at, you know, 17 years old, I think he was, when kind of really started kicking off. And it's amazing. You don't, you know, he's at the top of the game in the space. 17-year-old. That had never shown in kind of art galleries or been accepted or anything culturally, externally, you know, by his family and further on from there. But the Web3 community, as you said before, it's like arms wide fucking open. Like, let's go, or let's fucking go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, I think digital artists are, they're being, you know, they're coming to and fro every day. It's just like, it's happening. Yeah.
Cool. And so as we're wrapping this up, we've got a couple of questions. What do you guys think individually is the biggest opportunity for creatives right now?
Sure. NFTs.
In the digital renaissance, what is the biggest opportunity for who's
right now, actually, as a macro level thing in the arts area, I would say music. Like the arts, visual arts and everything are absolutely amazing. But I would kind of like have a look at music and the attribution between the two of them, visual arts. So it's not saying there's no visual art because, hey, we love watching a film clip or, you know, animation that's got amazing music playing over the top of it. So I think there is a lot to go there. But again, we're at such a nascent time in this space that it's open right across the whole board to like go, you could be someone that's just come off a building site, but you've got this like crazy conceptual idea, put it out there. Because there's community that will go, that's a good idea, like let's fucking run with it and kind of let's help you build that for us type thing. And that, look, that's how we're here today, is like the community's helped us build this. And so that's the beautiful thing, I think, about the Web3. But I think the whole thing is, it's such a nascent space that there's no one specific kind of thing. It's like, just get in there and get started.
The only specific, like right now, thing that I would say is that it's the time to build and to take your time, because it's not just the art that you're creating, it's the brand that you need to back you up on that. And with the economic climate globally, that's what that's probably as specific as I can get, is build now and be in it for the long run, because everyone wants to be in when the bull run is, but in the bear market, in the winter, this is the time to build and build for the future.
Just quickly, I would say right now it's the opportunities that this space can open up for people wanting to learn, wanting to buy, wanting to be an investor or a collector. I think the opportunities to reach and be part of a global art movement or a global digital movement in general, it's just so many opportunities. It really doesn't matter.
Guys, that was amazing. Thank you for your time. I think we're going to wrap it up there, but definitely excited to get back down to Melbourne and continue the chat, because I feel like we just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you to you guys, and it's been so amazing to meet you today and hear about the process you're going through creating your physical work and then coming to the NFT space. That's what it's all really all about, and thank you for connecting us now, which is another fantastic thing. But cheers to you guys for coming in here. We're stoked to have been able to show you around.
You're so welcome, and thank you for your hospitality. We really appreciate it.
Guys, as Josh said, it was such a pleasure to meet you guys and connect, and I feel like we're only just touching the tip of the iceberg here with Oshi Gallery and Rebecca Grugan and the Moods. So we've got so much to look forward to. It's awesome to see your light. Let's go. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Fist bumps.
Fist bumps, yeah.